Next item, please. 316.
Appeal on behalf of the Pearl District Neighborhood Association against Design Commission's decision of approval for design review with modifications and concurrent greenway review for the Fremont Apartments, a 17-story mixed-use building at 1650 Northwest Parkway, LU16278621, DZMGW.
Colleagues, just a reminder, we're back into an on-the-record hearing. Do any council members have ex parte contacts or information gathered since the last hearing to disclose?
Mayor, I'll start.
Commissioner Fish.
And I want to thank Lindley Reese for providing sort of the legal context for this. So I have some extensive contacts to disclose. They're not all technically ex parte contact disclosures, but it's council's advice that we all go the extra mile in doing these disclosures. And what's a little more complicated in my life right now is that in addition to being a full-time member of the council, I'm also on the May ballot, which means I'm at community forums and events and gatherings, and that means that dozens, if not hundreds of people are regularly sharing their views with me on many different subjects. So I'm going to read into the record, Mayor, a somewhat more extensive ex parte contact disclosure with the caveat that this goes well beyond what the law provides, but I think is designed to set a standard of transparency. So since the last hearing council held on this topic, I have had numerous conversations with people about this land use proceeding, and I have read numerous media accounts. What I have not done is solicit information or feedback from anyone about the substantive issues in this case. Generally speaking, the contacts break out into two categories. First, media reports. I have read news reports on this matter. Reporters have asked me to comment on the issue. In each instance, I've been clear that because we are in the middle of a land use proceeding, it would not be appropriate for me to discuss the merits of the case, and I haven't. But I have seen and read a number of media reports, as have, I believe, most of my colleagues. Community feedback. Because this issue has been in the public domain for a while, and there are a number of other issues the council has taken up in addition, including Central City 2035, changes to the comp plan, and a number of things we'll be taking up today in a legislative matter, I think we can all appreciate that in the course of a day, we run into lots of people who have lots of opinions about issues involving land use in our city. And I think it's safe to say that since we last met, I've spoken to hundreds of community members about lots of things. And in some instances, I've been approached at meetings, forums, and candidate events with people providing unsolicited feedback. When I have been approached about the specific issues in the Fremont Apartments matter, I have been careful to tell people that because there's an open land use matter, I cannot discuss the substance of the matter. I can talk maybe conceptually about procedure, but this is not a legislative matter, so we are not as free to discuss the merits. This has not always prevented people from sharing their opinions with me. And in those cases, what I've generally heard has been in the category of either someone expressing support or opposition to the tentative decision the council made, or a broader discussion about housing in the city and the region. I have not received much in the way of feedback, what I would call substantive, meaning I have not had conversations with people about specific design features, where a window would go, how a building would be designed, where a retaining wall would be placed, or other kinds of things, which are the kinds of issues which technically ex parte communications are meant to screen in terms of disclosure. Drilling a little deeper, I want to share some specific examples of things that could constitute ex parte contacts. I have spoken with a number of reporters, including Rachel Monahan from Willamette Week and Gordon Friedman from The Oregonian. I have talked generally with the mayor about the procedural posture of this case. I have heard from people, as I mentioned before, on both sides who either agreed or disagreed with our tentative decision. I have taken some care to ensure that I have not spoken directly to the applicant or the appellant about the merits of the proposal. That said, Mayor and colleagues, and to the members of the public that are here, I continue to believe that I can be fair and impartial in my deliberations on this matter. Thank you.
Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Daly.
Similarly to Commissioner Fish, I have had no ex parte contact with the appellant or the applicant. I have read one or more news articles in the Willamette Week and a few handfuls of comments online with interesting speculations as to why I and we voted the way we did. I barely remember them, and they were not substantive either.
Very good. Commissioner Saltzman, then Commissioner Fritz.
Like Commissioner Fritz said, I've read media accounts of our previous decision. I read an opinion piece by Stan Pinkin in Sunday's Oregonian that was not point blank about this, but certainly referenced this. I received an email from Doug Klotz yesterday in regard to the Fremont Place decision, and I have received an email from a developer who took us to task about our decision, along with a lot of other issues.
Thank you. Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. The same week as we had made the tentative decision, I had my regularly scheduled meeting with Commissioner Fish, and we talked briefly, as is the case when you think that a case is already done, that we were happy that the outcome had been as it was and that it was based on the Greenway setback. We also discussed that the was on the record in the hearing that there might be a higher development in the future, and that could well happen, and that we thought that the appellant was aware of that. The following week, I had a regular scheduled meeting with the mayor. He told me, I again expressed the same kind of general satisfaction for what had gone down. He told me that he would be moving to reconsider the discussion, the tentative vote. I believe my exact words were, "Are you crazy?" And I then...
I think that's right.
Yes. I said that, well, then we can't talk about it anymore because it's now back in the realm of a quasi-judicial ex parte contact that we can't be having this conversation, and I changed the subject. I had my regular meeting with Commissioner Daly, and she brought up the topic. I said that we can't discuss it because it's an ex parte. She said that she had had a meeting with she had talked about it with the mayor in general, but without reaching any conclusions. I've had no contact with Commissioner Saltzman. I think our meeting got cancelled in the interim. I've had several emails that I read immediately after the decision, again, as I thought, as I have for the last 25 years of participating, that once you have a tentative vote, that the everything is pretty much done except a formality. I received emails against the decision from Ivan Robinson, Joe Recker, Ron Dew, and Rich Frank. All of those said, why did you vote in favour of views, to which my response was I didn't, and that it was based on the Greenway setback and other factors, that there would likely be more development under a future application. I received an email from Elizabeth Hawthorne congratulating us on making the decision based on the Greenway and asking the question, would a new application be subject to the inclusionary housing policy, to which I said, yes, I believe it will. Those all arrived before I realised that we were back into a quasi-judicial. All subsequent emails, I've read the title, and if the title wasn't specific, I've read the first line. Whether for or against, I have then responded to the constituent that it's a live application, I can't discuss this, and I can't read the rest of your email. I read the op-ed by Stan Pinkin in the Oregonian last week. And I also was told by staff for the hearing this afternoon that the applicant pointed out an error in the development standards or the new code that we'll be voting on this afternoon. And I said, well, that maybe indicates that they're planning to reapply. And that, I believe, is the extent of my ex parte contacts.
Very good. I too, have had various contacts over the last couple of weeks. I've had no ex parte contacts with either the applicant or the appellants. I have certainly had opinions expressed to me at the grocery store, on the treadmill, at my daughter's school, at the car wash, and other places. None of them, in my opinion, went anywhere beyond what had been said already on the record. I've certainly read a number of media accounts. Emails have come in, and again, they've mostly been terse and to the point, either supportive or opposed to our prior action. I had contact with Willamette Week reporter Rachel Monahan, but that was done through my staff. They delivered a quote in a March 14th article on my behalf. I supported that quote. It was consistent with my commentary on the record during the hearing. I also had contact with Portland Tribune reporter Jim Redden through my staff, again, who delivered the same quote that was given to Rachel Monahan, although I don't believe that the quotes that were provided were actually printed in the article. I am aware that my staff has had contact with the applicant, but I want to make it extremely clear that I have been screened off from those specific conversations, and I'm unaware of any information provided by those conversations. I've had conversations with my colleagues, as just very accurately described, mostly around procedure, including my desire to revisit this issue, but there has not been any substantive discussion around the merits or demerits. Does anybody in the council chamber wish to ask any or all of us any questions about the ex parte contacts that we have just discussed?
Yes, Mayor, I'd like to ask you more specifically what you remember about your contacts with each of your colleagues that led you to believe that announcing in the press that you were going to move to reconsider might have a good chance of passing.
So from my perspective, I have no idea and had no idea whether there would be a good chance of passing. My conversation was really around the question of procedure. And I'm sorry, I forgot to mention here, I had conversations with our legal counsel around procedure. In the days subsequent, I started to wonder why other options could not be available in terms of asking the applicant specifically to address the issues which were raised on the record by us and by people in the chamber. And after those conversations, I concluded that I would tell my colleagues what my intention was procedurally with regard to a reconsideration. I don't think I had a conversation with Dan. I'm pretty sure with Commissioner Udaly and Commissioner Fish, I did have that conversation.
Yeah, that conversation was strictly procedural. We didn't get into the details of the case.
And by the way, I'm Commissioner Fritz said something earlier that I think is important. And this case, if it serves no other useful purpose as a historical case, will remind people that, as we've all learned, that the period of time between a tentative vote and adoption of findings is still a live quasi-judicial legal proceeding to which we are bound by the same rules. And I that may be counterintuitive to some people, and it may make sense to others, but we did get clear legal guidance on that, which we have shared with the media and with people that have approached us. And I think the logic of that to me is that a tentative vote is a tentative vote. And it is subject to a subsequent hearing where proposed findings come forward and we're still deliberating. And because of that, we've been advised by counsel that we're still bound by the rules that apply to quasi-judicial proceedings. And I think all of us make significant efforts to make sure that we don't get into the sausage making around the design planning and other kinds of things, because that's the essence of what a quasi-judicial proceeding is. That seems to me separate from listening to people who think you're either a complete idiot for how you voted or support it, or wonder procedurally how these things work, and how the council ended up where they landed. is a fine line, and I hope that we all strive to err on, you know, being on one side of that line.
So, colleagues, I move to formally reconsider our March 7th tentative vote in this matter.
Second.
I've made a motion. There's a second. Colleagues, I'd like to discuss this project, the area that we're talking about, and again, I'm just reiterating that what is already on the record is it's planned for development, and development will happen on the site. So no development has never been an option for this particular site. On the record, I discussed concerns that I had for the protection of the Greenway setback, and we heard testimony in support of the idea, which I support, which is that how we choose to do this project will set the standard for all of the other development projects that will happen in that same immediate area. And that, of course, includes the treatment of the bike and pedestrian path along the riverway. And it is my belief that through further discussion, we may be able to find a way to have these concerns that were on the record addressed and meet the overall objectives of the project. So that is my thinking, and if there is no other discussion, I will call the roll.
Oh, there is. I have some discussion. Thank you.
Thank you.
First of all, since we'll be voting on the findings, I'd like to know, has everybody read the findings that were delivered to us yesterday?
Yes.
Yes.
Commissioner, what do you mean by since we're voting on the findings?
Well, if we the findings outline why the council voted 5-0 to deny the application and approve the appeal. So this lays out why the council and our legal counsel believes that we should not reconsider the record or reconsider that vote, that this is the basis of our decision. So I would like to know if everybody has read it, because I believe that this matter will get appealed to the Land Use Board of Appeals and possibly in the courts as well. And if that's the basis for, it should be the basis for our discussion today, are we going to approve the findings or not? So I'd like to know if everybody's has read them all.
So let me, can I make a comment, Mayor?
Yeah, please, Commissioner Fish.
Or maybe I can seek clarification from you since you're making the motion. My understanding is that if a majority of the council wants to reconsider the tentative vote, then the next conversation we would have is where do we go from here? And then we would have the menu of options, including adopting the draft findings, modifying those findings, and or we would have the option of giving the applicant an opportunity to make appropriate changes to the design of this project consistent with concerns that council has raised. Is that am I on the right track?
Are you asking
yes.
me? Yes, and that's my intention. My intention will be to, assuming you know, there is an agreement here, if there is no agreement, we'll accept the appeal. If there is an agreement, my intention would be to continue the hearing, open up the record, and give the applicant the opportunity to address the concerns that were raised during the initial hearing, which is our right.
Okay.
So I have a question.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to ask you, Mayor, what was your thinking about doing a motion to reconsider as opposed to just requiring the applicant to submit a new application?
This was advice that was given to me from a procedural perspective. Maybe I should call on legal counsel at this point. We could do either from my perspective, but it was my understanding that this was the preferred legal strategy. And if that's not, I'd love to know. If we can simply direct it, great.
So, Commissioner Saltzman, could you? What were the two alternatives you were?
Well, I was asking the mayor what his thinking was behind doing a motion to reconsider and, in essence, sort of, revisiting the decision and perhaps making changes,
and
as opposed to simply requiring the applicant. We granted the appeal, which meant we denied the application, so why not simply say to the applicant, submit a new application?
So part of the answer is going to be around time frame, but there may be some other legal issues here that I'm
what
not completely frame? Aware of. If they have to go through they would have to go through the whole process again, is that correct?
If we deny the application, they would need to reapply and start over, correct?
Correct.
What's the issue with the time frame?
So from a legal perspective, either option is available. My understanding was that, and I won't speak for the mayor, but because the issues that he had identified with the Greenway were more limited in nature rather than redesign of the entire project, that perhaps that was something that could have been addressed through a minor revision as opposed to starting over.
That is correct. Certainly something that council I was on the record with a very specific objection.
Okay, then if I might, I'll just continue then with why we should not reconsider the approval. Just one clarification from legal counsel. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability memorandum from March 5th, is that in the record? If you could check on that for me. And in the meantime, I'm just going to...
I don't know the answer to that.
So we did, I did, and the council agreed 5-0, agree with a multiple list of problems with this application. The Greenway was part of it and one of the biggest parts of it. One of the other problems was the bulk of the building, the fact that it's asking for increased length from 200 to, I believe, 230. I don't have
30,
it.
30, yeah.
Where, thank you, 230 feet. That's a significant change if that's to be changed. The shade on the Greenway was part of it, and also the shade on the public plaza. There was no water features. There's no art. The bicycle parking is inadequate. And if I'm allowed to talk about the Bureau of Planning memo, I can add some more things.
This was a BDS memo or a BPS memo?
I believe it was Planning and Sustainability.
I thought it was.
And I'm sorry, I don't have a copy of that in my materials.
It was a memo dated the 5th, which described, and it went into the views, the fact that the views from the Fields Park are not protected. And that was part of the council discussion, that we all agree that views are not protected, private views are not protected, and that was not part of the decision. It's not part of the findings. So I'm hesitant to say anything because we haven't reopened the record. I will just, so going back over those, it wasn't just a small thing that could be fixed easily. It's multiple different project problems with this application that are outlined in the, are specified in the findings. If we agree to continue this application and allow it, basically a new project to be submitted, that means that staff are putting all their time in with no pay. It means a very much different way of community members interacting and giving their input onto any revised project. It's, as I said, unprecedented, and I strongly urge my colleagues to stick with the denial and not to vote not to reconsider. The rules. I won't go further because I don't know if it's in the record.
Okay, so I unless anybody has anything burning, I will ask the clerk to call the roll on the reconsideration.
Just want to make sure the vote. So a yes vote means yes to reconsider. No vote means
correct.
No.
That is correct.
And as I understand it, a yes on the motion to reconsider still gives us all the options available to us.
So
I
will walk through it very briefly. The motion to reconsider takes you back to the point in time after which Commissioner Fritz had made her initial motion, and you will then have to vote on that motion again. Thumbs up, thumbs down, and at that point, then the slate is clean, and you can determine what you want to do from there if we get to that point.
Okay.
So there will be two votes before you get to what is our new option.
Please call the roll.
Fish.
So I'm going to support the motion to reconsider for the following reasons. In the last hearing, Commissioner Fritz identified significant shortcomings of this project, which is reflected in a document that's in the record. And after council discussion, we were left with what was, in essence, a binary choice to either grant the appeal or deny the appeal. In prior land use proceedings that I've been a party to, we've often had a third option, which is to place conditions on some action we take, or in this instance, to at least explore the question of whether the matter could be submitted back to the Design Commission for further action. Now, I understand that is a murky legal issue that doesn't have a clear answer. And frankly, on that question, Mayor, I think we need to consider some code work in the future that gives the council the clear and unambiguous authority when we're faced with questions like this to send it back to the administrative body for further proceedings. I seem to recall Commissioner Saltzman, when we had this hearing last time, saying, in effect, that he didn't want us to effectively become the Design Review Commission for the City of Portland. And the truth is that a lot of these cases are being appealed to us, and we're in effect been asked to substitute our judgment for an administrative body that we've appointed. And I agree with him on that. What is not clear to me, when we've identified what we think are shortcomings, it's not clear to me why we can't just direct that it go back to the administrative body that reviewed it with our comments and say, have another hearing on it and see if these things can be worked out. It seems to me that's at least a third or fourth option that the council should have, and I understand that the legal issue is not clear. But I'm going to support the motion to reconsider so we can have that conversation. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, we had a very good hearing on this. Lots of people testified, pro and con. And I really didn't have real strong feelings one way or the other, but I was really impressed with the quality of the testimony and the quality of the council discussion on this matter. And I ultimately sided with Commissioner Fritz, and I, as Commissioner Fish just said, I was loath to see this council become the Design Commission. And I am concerned that's exactly the door we're opening if we vote to reconsider this, is we're going to end up being the ones that ultimately redesign this project with help from the applicant, with the applicant speaking to the concerns that we expressed. And I just don't feel that's the right way to be approaching it. It just seems to lack a certain credibility to me. And I don't think I've ever done a reconsideration on a tentative land use decision before. So I feel the best course is to keep it clean, have the applicant resubmit an application, revised application, let it go through the process, and maybe it won't end up here on appeal. But I feel that's the way we should go, and therefore I would support, I don't support the motion to reconsider. No.
You Daly.
So I was surprised by the way the tentative vote went. There were a number of complex issues and concerns raised very late in the hearing that I didn't feel we could adequately address in the moment, and I was not prepared to offer solutions to them. By the time it came to my vote, there were three votes, and there's reasons to be on the prevailing side, even if you don't agree. So I voted yes. But my concerns with this project center around the Greenway. I think that a number of the other issues raised are relatively cosmetic, would not require a major redesign of the building. And I want to acknowledge the time and expense that the developer has put into this and what it could mean to them potentially to have to do an entirely new application process, and the message that we're sending to the larger development community. I vote aye.
Fritz.
This is about this application, and this application, for the reasons that are outlined or detailed in the findings, doesn't meet the approval criteria on multiple different factors. So I share Commissioner Saltzman's concern that we are becoming, actually, that all bets are off. That's essentially what this means, is that no developer or no neighborhood can rely on what happens at council, because, or at the Design Commission, that the process is completely blown apart. As you've been on the council 20 years almost, right, Commissioner? it's never happened before, and it's opening the door to anybody who doesn't like a decision lobbying outside of the process and getting what they want. No.
Wheeler.
So I've only been on the council for a little while, and I think this is probably my third or maybe my fourth design review appeal. And my recollection is we have, in fact, expressed preferences and added conditions and redesigned buildings as a council. I remember one very vividly based on the input that we received. This process, as loathsome as it is, gives us a tentative vote followed by a final vote for this very reason. I share everybody's desire not to be the Design Review Commission. It is very constrained. It limits our abilities to have a discussion amongst ourselves. And it is highly misleading to the public because people and even the press to some degree interpret this as a commentary on our views around affordable housing. And the reality is that has nothing to do with this conversation. This is an appeal from a design review hearing, and we are acting as the appeal board for a design review process. And so if through later processes I could get us out of this, believe me, I would. But I vote aye. The motion carries. Clerk, please call the roll on the revote of Commissioner Fritz's March 7th motion to tentatively grant the appeal and deny the application.
Fish. I'm sorry, Lindley, did you?
So maybe
and
just
to be, yes, go ahead,
I was just going to say, to be clear, a yes vote means that you're voting to grant the appeal and deny the application.
Correct.
A no vote means that you want to clean the slate.
So may I please speak in about the motion?
Please.
Thank you. So they're not minor tweaks that can be changed with small conditions of approval. That's the reason. Under a land use proceeding, the council is required to allow it if it can meet the approval criteria with conditions of approval. This cannot. It cannot meet the conditions of approval. And I'll give you a couple of examples of that. It's not just the Greenway. It's the Greenway shadow, the way the building overlooks the Greenway and shades it. If you would, colleagues, please turn to the findings on page 34. Where it talks about the modification, about the maximum building dimension. This is a standard. It has to be met unless you can find that the resulting development would better meet the applicable design guidelines. The standard under 33, 510, 251, D3, BC says maximum building dimension. The maximum building dimension is 200 feet. This standard applies to both length and depth. And the findings talk about the proposed increase in the maximum building dimension from 200 feet to nearly 231 feet lies in the direction perpendicular to the river is inconsistent with the purpose. A narrower building that meets this standard would more afford visual connections to the river and its activities. The proposed modifications would serve in the opposite purpose. So if you're talking about changing a building dimension by 31 feet, that is not a minor tweak. That is not something that can be added as a condition of approval. The other one that also cannot be changed as a condition of approval is on page 33 of the findings, which talks about the required open area development standards, the shadow standard, that requires not more than 50% of the plaza area to be covered by shadows at noon on April 21st of any year. And the proposal has 84% shading. It's not possible to condition approval to require less shading. And this is a standard that needs to, again, better meet the purpose. And if you read the findings, you will find out why it doesn't. So it's not just, let's think about this a little differently. It's going to require a fundamentally new application. And I strongly urge, even though we're now reconsidering this, vote again the way that you did last time.
Very good. Please call the roll. Commissioner Fish.
So I was following very closely what Commissioner Fish just said. Could you remind us again about what a yes and a no vote refers to?
So you're voting to Commissioner Fritz's motion, which is to tentatively uphold the appeal and deny the application. So a yes vote means you support Commissioner Fritz's motion to deny the application.
Okay.
A no vote means that you would like there to be a different motion.
Okay.
Please call the roll, Carla.
Fish.
No.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Udaly.
No.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
No. The motion fails. So, colleagues, now this is next steps, and we may have more than one motion, but I'd like to put a motion on the table. I move to continue the hearing until May 10th and reopen the record. The applicant would have until April 11th at 5 p.m., and I understand this is a very tight time frame, to submit revisions to their application. And by April 18th, the Bureau of Development Service staff will mail notice of the continued hearing and the opportunity to submit testimony and evidence in response to any revisions. Participants may submit written testimony and evidence on the revised plans, and the council will accept oral testimony on the revised plans on May 10th at 2 p.m. That is my motion.
So, Mayor, let me address that motion for a second.
Please.
I have two concerns with it. The first is the timeline, because it doesn't seem particularly reasonable in light of the extensive issues that this council has flagged. And number two, I still want to have a discussion about remanding this to the Design Review Commission for purposes of having them review any changes, which has two potential beneficial impacts. One is we get the benefit of their review, and second, it may or may not be appealed back to this body. But it seems to me, even though the law is murky on this, I'd like to understand why we're not actively considering a remand to the administrative body that has the primary role in our system for reviewing these kinds of applications.
I'll tell you why. I don't want to end up in the inner circle of hell, because they have already voted on this, and I would see a likely response be that they simply take the same vote and send it right back here again.
Then I'll ask a question. How do you know that the applicant can respond by April 11th?
I do not know.
Seems an unreasonable time frame.
It may be that they do not.
So what is driving the time frame? It seems
there is no particular driving of the time frame. I'm happy to extend it unless legal counsel can give me any reason why that would not be appropriate.
Why is legal counsel?
Typically, I will ask the applicant and staff whether we have an extension of the 120-day clock. That's our primary time limitation. In this case, the applicant has waived the 120 days.
So we could extend the time frame. Is that correct?
That is my understanding.
Does the appellant have any right to a decision within a certain time frame?
No.
So, Mayor, if we're going to follow this path and give the applicant an opportunity to provide us with a different design, a design that's going to have to meet the markers that a number of us have placed down in terms of concerns we had with the original design. And in light of your concern for, you know, creating some monster here, I would strongly urge that we set a reasonable amount of time for the additional design work to be done and presentation prepared, because they're going to get one chance to come back to council, and it's not entirely clear that council is going to feel like they've gone far enough. So I don't want the excuse to be that they didn't have enough time to address the numerous substantive concerns that the council has on the record.
Very good. That is compelling. Could we set a different date? What is an appropriate time frame, Commissioner Fish?
I'm not qualified to answer that. It just seems to me this is a very tight time frame for the kinds of changes we've requested. I would suggest that we give them a month or two and then come back.
So we have two options here. So staff tells me that the full extension expires May 24th. So that would give us potentially, if we're coming back on the 10th, or the 10th, Let me back up for a moment. As somebody who used to work in private practice, one of the benefits of private practice versus being in the public sector is that architects can work day and night. I'm not going to opine on the applicants, folks, but my sense is if council tells them a particular time frame, they will get what needs to be done in a particular time frame. If we're going to try and get a final decision, adoption of findings done by late May, you could extend it by probably another week and give them 2 weeks to respond, but I don't really think that if you go beyond that, I don't think we're going to meet the May 24th deadline.
I thought they've waived the time limits.
They have waived it. One of the state law provides that they can provide extensions up to 365 days. I'm assuming what that means is the 365 days expires on May 24th. State law does not provide a particular consequence, but it is our practice to comply with state law, and therefore I would tell you we would try to comply by having our decision done within 365 days.
Okay.
So what is the latest date then that we could give the applicant to submit the revisions, and when would we hold the hearing?
That probably be it, ma'am, because otherwise you can't get the findings back.
Right. So another week out would put it at the 17th. Is there time available on the 17th? Or 16th?
Okay, it'd be 4 o'clock on May 17th.
Great.
This is not going to be a short hearing. And there's nothing on the 16th?
Yes.
Yes, there is nothing, or yes, there is?
There is. It'd be 4 o'clock on the 16th as well.
4 o'clock. That's ridiculous.
So would it be the record right now remains closed until council has voted on this, but I might recommend that council reopen the record for the purposes of hearing whether the applicant, or at least I'll ask the applicant whether they think they can get it done within a week, since May 10th seems to be a good date.
Okay, that would be helpful for me.
Okay, so the motion stands. Is there a second?
Well, no, the motion is just to reopen the record to get that information. Is that correct?
Right now, the motion is the full motion from the mayor.
Which includes reopening the record.
I will say that it is my understanding that 7 days can work.
That's your understanding?
That is my understanding.
Well, okay. It's going to have to. That's the timeline.
And that's the timeline.
Second.
So we have a motion and we have a second. I appreciate the list that Commissioner Fritz has given, and I want to reiterate a couple of things that I said on the record. This is not about views for me. There are no protected views from this particular location. My primary concerns relate to the Greenway setback, and we took lots and lots of testimony on the Greenway setback. I am personally not particularly concerned about orientation or height. And I am okay with increasing the podium size. Those are, from my perspective, acceptable options. I don't know if somebody, well, I'll go ahead and just call the roll on the motion.
Fish.
So at the last hearing, I laid out some very specific concerns that I had, and I expect them to be addressed in any redesign. And supporting the mayor's motion, I am reserving the right to all the options that I would have otherwise when this matter comes back. But I believe that in this instance, giving the applicant the opportunity to address the concerns we raised and redesign the project and come back to council is in the public interest, and therefore I vote aye.
Saltzman.
My concern with the timeline, and even if it's a later timeline, is bypassing the design commission. I mean, that to me, really is setting us up on May 10th or whatever date to be designing this project. And I think the Design Commission, for better or worse, serves as an important check and balance on this council in these types of decisions. And so I would prefer to see some sort of expedited role for the Design Commission in this, and I don't see that in this timeline. So I vote no.
You, Daly?
I also want to be clear that my original stance on this had nothing to do with views, which is a popular public sentiment. And I also want to be clear, I'm not particularly excited about more market and luxury rate housing. But it's not my job. That's not my job to determine what will go on the site. The job that remains is determining if we are making reasonable modifications and if we were getting public benefit back. So as with the mayor and Commissioner Fish, my primary concern is the greenway and how this building is going to affect our built environment, integrate or not integrate into the community. I also am not concerned with heights. I'm not terribly concerned with a 230-foot building versus 200. I mean, that's a 15% increase. We have the smallest city blocks, I believe, in any major city. And we have a unique site that's sandwiched between a river and a roadway. So I don't know when we have these conversations. Is it when we come back? Okay. So I vote. Wait, where are we? Lindley?
Yes to support the motion.
I vote to support the motion, which I actually seconded. So there you go. It's complicated.
Fritz?
No, and I'd like to have a comment after you've voted.
Wheeler?
Aye. The motion carries. Commissioner Fritz, you get the last word.
Since the record has now reopened, I want to make sure that the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability memo from March 5th is actually in it. It's, as we all remember, that the current project is allowed to reach a maximum allowed height, including the bonus, which is 175 feet. Under the new comprehensive plan, a new project would be allowed to go up to 250 feet. So there would be, had the council chosen to have a new application, there would have been additional heights and therefore additional units potentially allowed, and I think that's very unfortunate.
Very good. Thank you. Next item, 319.